The important thing is, I didn't get my comeuppance, and I never will.
No law, Trash Hawk!
They call me the mayor, 'cause I spend all my days here. You would too, if you knew what I know.
Pina colada.
About a tropical tree. Sucked straight from the coconut's tea.
Back on schedule, NOLA Trash Talk episode Bacardi 151. Here we go, Steven. It's the Prophet Joshua.
And Steve McJeezy.
We are doing the yin and yang episode because we've experienced two different weeks in the past.
My BAC last weekend was 151.
Yeah, we had a kind of a week off, not really. I was out of town on a cruise. Steven was kind of out of town beginning of last week.
I came back Tuesday.
And then you were going through a lot.
Oh, Jesus.
And then we had that last episode out last weekend, but so here we are, kind of still adhering to our once a week schedule. Very proud of ourselves. It is June 18th, 2017. Welcome back to NOLA Trash Talk. So,
where do we begin?
How was your cruise, Joshua?
Do you want to go through the valley and then go to the mountain, or start at the mountain and go to the valley?
I don't know which one you're referring to in either, but you can start with the cruise.
Okay, that would be starting at the mountain.
Start
go
at
ahead.
The mountain.
Go ahead,
How
buddy.
How was your cruise, Joshua?
How was your cruise, Joshua?
Oh, thanks so much for asking, Steve.
I'm sorry.
It was the first cruise I'd ever been on. It was for a friend's wedding, so I was a complete virgin to this experience.
Wait. This somebody got married.
Yeah.
Ah, okay. This is good. Okay.
Congrats to August and Andy once again. We spent all week together with them. I just kind of got stapled along with the group. And
was this a homosexual marriage?
No. Jesus Christ. No. No.
August and Andy.
For Andrea.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Anyway, it was with the Carnival.
Not that it would have mattered.
Carnival Cruise Line. I've never been on one. I'm not going to vouch for.
AKA Yacht Cruise Line.
One better than the other. Our three destinations on the cruise, what I've been exposed to, three places I've never been before. Montego Bay, Jamaica, Grand Cayman.
Oh, y'all went to that one.
Cozumel.
I went to that one when I was like 10 or 11. That's the best one. The best one that Carnival offers.
I was going to say, don't you dare say Montego Bay is the best.
No. it was the best one I'd been on because it was the longest and went to three cities, and I did the most, like, because somebody else was sponsoring it.
I'm going to feel awkward about describing all the ups and downs of my cruises since Steven had apparently the most miserable week ever.
Yep.
Just
do what you got to do.
We'll get to the steamroll over me. We'll get down in the valley later. It's like a floating hotel. If anyone's ever been to a Vegas resort or any type of other resort, just pick that building up off the ground and put it on a boat and float it around, and you see the same 2,500, 3,000 people every day.
Yeah.
Pretty much it's drinking constantly.
Did you meet any single-serving friends?
What do you mean?
Single-serving friends are somebody that you meet on, like, the airplane or something like that. They're just a single-serving. So, like, for a cruise, you, like, meet people on a cruise, and you're like,
I'll tell
right.
you what, I did not – I barely met anyone that wasn't in our group.
Oh, good.
We had okay. about 12 people in the wedding group.
Oh, money.
And all the plans were pretty much like they give you a Carnival app on your phone so you can chat when you're out in international waters, you know.
That's nice because that was like one of the biggest issues ever.
I can't imagine trying to organize plans without it.
It was
so
horrendous.
So basically when you're out in the water on airplane mode on your phone, that you have an app that still functions so you can chat with everyone in your group. So you're organizing everyone. Where are you right now? We're meeting here. Getting dinner at this time.
That's sick.
Da-da-da-da-da. It's kind of as tedious as like trying to get together with people along a Mardi Gras parade route. It's that same kind of chaos coupled with the fact that you're pretty much getting hammered. This cruise was like 6 days in a row.
You have no idea how lucky you are.
I wasn't given this. I paid for it.
Yeah, whatever. But I mean, it's,
anyone could be as lucky as me for $2,000.
Jesus, that's how much it cost you?
I put $1,000 down, and then I had to put money down for the drink package, which wasn't mandatory. They thought it was mandatory, but here we went. Which is great when you buy the drink package, and then you are pretty much crucified to 15 drinks a day, whether you like it or not, or else Carnival's getting your money.
How much was the drink package?
I paid. It was $800 for two, so $400 a person.
That's actually a good deal.
Yeah, well, consider the fact that when you get to your destinations and you go out and you're at another restaurant or on a beach and you're drinking all day and you get back on the boat and it's like, ugh, I have 15 drinks to kill or else I'm getting ripped by Carnival.
Right, I got
you. So it's very much like a, like it or not, I don't care how bad the sun beat you up.
Yeah.
I'm looking like Kentucky Fried Joshua right now, extra crispy.
You certainly are.
I'm right on the edge of not being able to go out in public. I got about like two more days of recovery, and I should be fine.
Yeah, you.
I gotta take the
and
sand.
You don't use lotion or aloe vera.
I don't believe in it.
I know that's the problem.
It'll be the death of me, but that's fine. I was thinking about this with the whole, don't use lotion. Going to get sunburn, going to get liver spots and skin cancer. Well, I figure if the giant ball of fire in space, the giver of life to planet Earth, is also the taker of life. You know, then all hail the sun, creator, destroyer.
Your dome is insane.
I'm melting. I'm wearing a t-shirt right now. I'm sure anyone who's ever been really badly first-degree burned, sunburn, would know. It's kind of like I'm wearing a sheet of, like, potato chips underneath a shirt.
Like, you could do yourself such a favor by getting some aloe vera.
I got some aloe after sun. Thanks for your concern. No.
And putting it in the fridge. So it was nice and cool.
I'll tell you what, though. It's so badly burned, it burns on my skin.
Right. Okay.
Like, really painfully. Yeah. We're right at the edge, though. As I said, I've spent the first day back, we got in super early, so I just was knocked out all day.
Right. Did you get in Sunday morning?
Yeah, like 7 a.m.
Oh, yeah. Like, the boat pulls up, and you're like, oh, fuck.
It was a Sunday to Sunday cruise.
It was absolutely
exhausting. If you've never been on a cruise, I want to describe this. People who've been on a cruise know what I'm talking about with how exhausting this process is of getting around the ship, getting to different plans, organizing with your friends, drinking your drink package if you do pay for it, getting on and off the boat at your destinations on time, you know, making it back to the boat, making sure you have all the shit on you, doing all that while getting intoxicated, then being out in the sun all day, swimming. I mean, even if you weren't drinking, being out in the sun is exhausting. Not complaining, but I'm just trying to lay this out for someone who hasn't been on a cruise. And I'd never been on a cruise until...
Damn, I didn't know that. I would have gave you all the pointers in the world.
I know. Dude, it was pretty easy to figure out. I figured my way around it. Spent a lot of time on the smoking decks because everybody in our group were smoking. Spent a lot of time at the casino bar because, once again, everybody in our group were smoking. And the casino bar was the bar that was open latest. But if you've never done it before, it's just... you can't really plan for how tired you're going to be.
Yeah,
and how it's go, go, go. It's like being at six straight wedding receptions.
Yep.
Imagine you went to six straight weddings in a row, and it was that level of enthusiastic cheersing and drinking and just like open bar, go, 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 and you're just in a deja vu. Like, didn't we just do this yesterday? And I didn't, because you're so perpetually drinking, there was no hangover. There was no lazy hangover day on the cruise. And I was kind of afraid when I landed in port that, like, fuck, now I'm going to pass out at home, wake up at, like, 2 p.m. on Sunday, and it's going to, like, snowball up and hit me in the face, which I obviously was hit in the face with the ball of fire. But I'm doing fine, so...
It's, like, it's kind of weird because, so, Saturday night, like, it's Saturday night is, like... Everybody's trying to get their last right in, and, like, it's so stupid to do that. You should
Saturday was kind of, like, the easy day. Actually, no, I went really hard Saturday night, fell asleep, no problem, woke up, and was back in New Orleans. That was actually the easiest. I don't know. I just switched to pounding tequila.
Did you – oh, my God. Did you think
– I had alternating days of, like, going to drink mimosas and then this, going to do champagne and switch to whiskey, just going to drink beer and keep it easy. Then try the random, like, funky frozen drinks and all the different...
Yeah, you gotta do that.
Which are such a rip. Everything is so, like... It's on the border of being virgin drinks, because a lot of people on the cruise aren't drinking. Like, they have these just giant, ornate frozen drinks, and, like, ooh, what's in that? And then I look at the menu, and it's just peach schnapps. I was like, that's not a drink.
Did they have Miami Vice?
I don't know.
It's a split of pina colada and strawberry daiquiri.
The only girl drink I got was like a pina colada once. Hence that intro song, Pina Colada Berg, from the Broken Lizard movie, Club Dread, if you weren't paying attention.
I got that one. That was
usually
nice.
Usually you miss those.
No, I got that one. That was good.
So while I was punishing myself, I'm paying for it now, believe me. It's back on the diet. It's back in the gym.
I hear you.
I just feel like I got hit by a truck. It's like worse than Mardi Gras, because Mardi Gras, you can still balance a normal schedule because you're home.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Not on a cruise.
Nope.
And Mardi Gras doesn't have the Caribbean sun pounding down on you the whole time. So while it is that kind of Mardi Gras drinking, it is a different kind of exposure. So here's my quick review of all three destinations.
Yeah, I want to hear that.
Before we move on to the downer part of the show.
Can I ask you a quick question about Jamaica before you get into it? When you guys got into Montego Bay, did you notice anything about their police officers?
Uh, quote unquote, air quote, police officers.
Oh, I'm sorry, because the ones that we had to deal with looked like fucking Rambo.
Yeah.
Like grenade launchers, like grenades.
Yeah, when you land in Montego Bay, I mean, I knew going into Jamaica that Jamaica is not the most upstanding or safe country to be in. And believe me, getting off at the port right there, they open that padlock up on the gates and they let one vehicle out at a time.
Oh, my God.
They let the bus out, lock the gates, da-da-da-da, make sure everyone else is cool.
Yeah.
And then you get on the thing and then it's like, well, can we just go to the first stop? We're just going to, we did the safe thing. We stayed in an American franchise, Margaritaville.
Oh,
no, dude, I was not going to fucking wander. Oh, fine, where the locals hang out.
Not in Jamaica.
And what is essentially a third world country
where
the guys on the street, as soon as you get off the goddamn bus, is like, coke, smoke?
Oh, they're all
doing
it.
They're waving bags of coke and weed in your face. And, the women are start tying bracelets to your arm.
That's insane.
And it reminded me of, I've traveled to Thailand before, and that was the most aggravating part of it. I understand different first, second, third world countries, different cultures, different things are polite, but don't not touch me and try to catch me in a where'd you get your shoes from, kind of thing, and ask for money after the fact.
It's all day long.
And then plus I'm thinking pickpockets. That's why it's so hard to drink and relax in those situations. While you're on the street, while you're in public, you got to get into the safe zone of a business. And then you're not constantly looking over your shoulder.
Like I was 11.
I got no time. I ain't got time for that.
This is when I went on the one you went on. I was 11 and North Korean Santa was 13. And in Montego Bay, we went on an excursion. So they we went on a snorkeling excursion.
We were
excursion.
On the bus though. And it was like they were trying to rope us into a full tour. We're like, no. And they're trying to up the, I knew what I was getting into because I had to deal with it in Thailand.
It's three card money all day long.
I know. And I was like, God, I got to keep making sure I'm not getting ripped because it costs this much to go this one stop. Oh, magically going back and the price is tripled now. Or the price goes up as soon as they shut the door on the bus. Or who the fuck knows where they drive you. Where they drive you to their friend's business where they got a deal and they drop everyone off and they run you through a mountaintop view. Whoa, look, a gift shop. And then there's constantly people trying to take pictures and sell you pictures, and it's like all we want to do is fucking hang out and do the Margaritaville slide into the water, and every time you turn around you got to tip the guy, and then you don't know what they're ringing up on your tabs because you got this large group of people and everyone's drunk and they're just like one more round of shots, one more round of beers. Like, who knows what the fuck that guy's ringing up when he brings you the bill? So there's no sober person policing the situation.
Yeah, I agree with that.
It's just the antithesis to kind of a laid-back Caribbean vacation. And if there's people out there who have more experience with traveling Jamaica, who have friends in Jamaica, and I got a friend that can hook it up and tell you where to go and how to stay away from the scam artists that are in every country, not singling out just one, then awesome. Wish they were there with us moving on to the next destination.
Grand Cayman.
We had local friends in Grand Cayman.
Oh.
We got picked up at the port or just away from there. And then we got ran into a guy's house. We partied by the pool, got picked up again, taken to
had friends in fucking Grand Cayman?
Friends of friends.
Oh, right. But
friends
I can't
Frat
believe
brothers
that.
With some of the other
That's
guys.
That's awesome,
in the way.
Dude.
Guys, friends of friends, boom, 46-foot yacht, picked us up.
Beautiful.
And we just went out to different spots in the water where they're snorkeling, went to, you can Google this if you want, where you feed the stingrays. You walk around like waist deep water, stingrays swim all around you. You have
That's
like
insane.
Chopped up squid.
I would never
then
do that.
Then we went to Starfish Beach, and once again, we just anchored off, killed like 5 cases of beer.
You were on a yacht?
Yeah. Well, I mean, a 46 boat is kind of skirting them.
That's a yacht. Don't worry.
It was extremely nice.
It's very nice.
Could have had nothing, had the boat, anchored off, swam for like 2 hours or so
awesome.
At Starfish Beach, killed 5 cases of beer with between 12 or 14 people. Multiple bottles of tequila and vodka, and nobody was smashed. We just burned through it. We're out in the sun. Sun drinking, you don't get drunk like when you go tubing. Did that. Had a great time. They drove us right back to the port on the thing.
That is so nice,
taxied
man.
Back to the boat, made it back on time, which is another thing you got to concern yourself with.
Holy
you do
shit. Things. They. Oh, my God. That is.
You don't want to get left. You definitely don't want to get left in Montego
Bay.
I
didn't know you were going to Cozumel. I would have told you where to go.
It was already planned. It was already booked the whole
thing. Oh, good.
What'd
y'all
do? They ran us to Nachi Kokum, a resort. We had a whole cabana booked with free beer and free food.
Awesome. That's
awesome.
That
was just based. That was like sitting on a beach drinking as your waiter came and went. So I'm constantly getting sunburned and then re-put into the sun, sunburn and then put back in the sun.
Right.
Today, I was moving between the parking garage and work, like Ninja Gaiden, through the shadows.
Yeah.
Of just like, please don't let the sun hit
Great
me.
Great reference,
please.
By the way.
Or like a teenage chick at Hot Topic, you know, don't let me be struck by light.
When I was 22, there was a group of six of us or seven of us that went, and we just befriended the staff. We made sure we befriended the staff.
Oh, no, the staff are really cool on the cruise
ship. No, but like we went to the nth degree to like hang out with them.
No, all those guys are cool on the cruise.
So they were like, look, when we go to Cozumel, it's like our one day to like hang out. So why don't you guys come with us? So they brought
us. You told me about this before.
To this private resort. It's called Parque Royale.
That's probably not that too far removed from what we went to.
It wasn't, yeah. It's just a little swim-up bar, and, like, you just chill on the beach. There's beach volleyball. But, like, they had the hookup over there. So, like, it was nice. Because, like, they're there every, you know, every other week. So it was just nice to be with people who knew what was up. But anyway.
So Cozumel was cool. Then we had another day on the boat, and then boom, back in New Orleans. I would say, in general, I've never done that before. It was just nice to be on the water that long.
That is nice.
The middle of the Gulf of Mexico was just wide open, calm, blue nothingness. Very. I was looking around thinking like, oh, we got plenty of water. That oil
did you
spill
think
couldn't
about
have done that
off?
Much damage.
Did you think about jumping off?
Every day.
Every day.
No.
I would just think about like, damn, it's crazy that somebody would actually jump off this.
We were doing high, like 20-foot jumps off the top of the boat, though, in a Cayman. That was awesome. Dangerous as fuck, but awesome.
Oof.
Well, it's just one of those things. You got it. You're there. You got to do it. If
I
you
would
don't
never
do it. Like the sliding board that at Montego Bay shoots you like a cannon out.
Oh.
Yeah, you saw the video posted of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that hurts a lot. You think, oh, cool, a water slide. No, that's a salty fist straight in the face as you hit the water because you just don't know the kind of velocity you pick up going down in a kid's ride. So I guess my review at the end of it is definitely worth it. I would say most people probably aren't raging alcoholics like the group I was with.
Yeah.
Of hitting it every day. I'm sure normal people probably had a spa day and a gym day and
mm-hmm.
did the
oh,
excursions
yeah.
where they like rock climbed and went to a waterfall.
Dude, but the gym day, don't sleep. You're at the top of the boat and the fucking boat is wobbling. So you're running on the treadmill going like back and forth. It's horrendous.
When I got back and I got in the shower, I had that wobbling in the shower feeling.
Oh, yeah.
But it faded away pretty. I kept my equilibrium. Pretty good. The person I was staying with on the boat was sick pretty much the entire time.
Oh, my God.
But that's like when I was like.
And if you take Dramamine, you're tired. That's the worst part.
Oh, yeah. They were passing around Dramamine.
Ugh.
Dramamine.
Yeah, whatever.
Dramamine.
But it makes you tired.
I wouldn't know because.
You don't do that shit.
That shit? I don't even wear sunblock. I walk out into the open universe and I say I was blessed with the abilities I was born with.
True.
If I suffer from any of these
you're
are
suffering.
A failure of my DNA.
Yeah. You're suffering.
It's like then let the weak be culled from the herd pretty much.
I never had problems with it. It was only when I came back the last day.
I have such a fascination with nautical shit that I would be ashamed of myself if I was got seasick that easy. Wouldn't let it happen.
Yeah, it was only – I only got really kind of like –
the fact that I could drink that much and still not have anything happen was like
– Yeah.
So how hot was it while I was gone?
The block was hot.
We'll jump in that minute. Oh, here, my last thought on the cruise.
How were your accommodations, though?
It was fine.
Because you paid a G for the room. You must have had a nice room.
Yeah, but I mean, I consider like all the free food that was given to us at dinner and everything.
Right, but I mean, you must – was the room decent?
Room was fine. The turnover every day.
TV
balcony.
Did you like the little towel animals they make for you?
They made the towel animals every day. That was weird. Whatever.
Yeah, it was hilarious.
I've been in honeymoon suites before in rooms where like I'm by myself or with girls I'm not sleeping with, and they make like the little two.
Did you tip housekeeping?
Automatic gratuity charge through the count. They get you like I'm in Montego Bay. You turn around and
This is what I was saying.
Robbed again by Carnival.
You can turn that off day one.
Whatever.
They deserve it, but you can turn it off.
I'm not going on a cruise and then pinching pennies.
No, that's what I'm saying.
Not doing that shit.
You might as well do that.
My last thought, though, for anyone considering a cruise this summer, and this is straight from my personality, if you listen to Nola Trash Talk a lot, is I could not do that shit with a girlfriend or wife.
I did it.
No, absolutely not.
I did it.
I had phantom pain of all the possible fights daily that I'd be getting into with a significant other. And I was so relieved. I was with everyone in the group. We're couples.
Oh my god!
I'm the only single guy in this 12-person group. Okay, and I never felt bad about it for a second. It was such a relief.
It is so nice
that I didn't have a girlfriend or fiance or wife hanging over me with making sure our plans lined up and right, what are we doing this day and when do we have to be up and how much money are you carrying? Do you have do you have my cruise card on?
I can't find it.
All the little fights that would have built up when you're stuck with them 6 days on the open sea. Right. I thought about that intermittently and it was just like, whew, if I ever do this again, not doing it with a.
Yeah, I mean, I did it with...
Not to say that I watched... everyone else had a great time. Or maybe they went back and fought in their cabins, and I just didn't see it amongst the group.
I did it with Mrs. McJeezy round one when we were kids.
Maybe that's fun because younger, but I mean...
I was like, we were 24, she was 23, yeah.
It was a serious relationship, and the girl's like 30, and yeah. And we're doing... So this is our big summer trip together, and there's lots of things on the table. No. Like, not so. I'm just saying.
Yeah,
for me,
that's a good takeaway.
I can't take anything. To quote Billy Burr, with you always with the that's what with a woodpecker on the side of my skull.
But the thing is like you, it's like hard because like just spending the entire day with someone for that long a period of time. Like, even when you're married, you go to work. Like, you get away from them.
Tag on top of that, I'd also be questionable about doing a bunch of guys or bringing a bunch of guys on the cruise as, like, a dude trip.
Ew.
Because I just don't see the single women scene on the cruise.
It's not like that.
It's not, yeah. No. It's a much older person married.
Yeah.
Honeymoon. Much older people getting little motor scooter.
Yeah.
Old couple, so there's a huge percentage of that. So it's not like it's a party thing with a bunch of single women.
You did it the right way. You went with opposite sex friend.
Yeah, with a group of people we're all seasoned drinkers from the service industry, and you know, so it was a good crowd. So I'd probably give it a year or two so I can recover before I can do it again. But what did the prophet miss, Stephen? Now bring it down. Bring it down real low.
Do you remember?
Switch the key to minor.
Two Wednesdays ago when we recorded the show, and I was like, watch the world fall apart this next week. And I predicted it, and the world did fall apart.
The world fell apart in like a greater scale than a personal scale, right?
Two of them. Well, the first one was our best buddy in the world, a man who a lot of people knew, Bill Henderson, did the impossible and committed suicide. And I was on vacation when I heard the news. Now, every doctor I've gone to has said, you need to turn your work email off when you go on vacation. You need to actually go on vacation. So I had the first time in a long time, I turned my work email off. And I got the call from the North Korean Santa and asking me if I had seen him. Haven't.
Right. I got that.
And then
text message.
And then I got the call and said, oh, this just happened because they just found him. So it was, that was sad because I went through the whole weekend. Like that was the start of my vacation. That was the start. And I was at my in-laws house. So that night when I with Mrs. McJeezy and her friends, we went out, you know, like her college friends, and I was trying to, like, push it down Irish style. And it worked pretty well. Like, you know, push it down. Like, deal with it later.
Compartmentalize, kid.
No, just push it down. And then when it hits you in the face, then the glass tips
push
over.
Push it down. Push it way down.
So we went to a bar after dinner. And I was like 10 martinis in. Like, I was just drinking face. We went to a bar.
You didn't start bawling at the table, did you?
I did not, no.
Okay.
I went to the jukebox and played 4 songs related to suicide, and it got real dark.
Whoa, I feel like that's not how you're supposed to pay tribute to somebody.
Real dark.
I mean, couldn't you have thought of maybe some more personal selections on behalf of the departed?
I played Inside the Fire by Disturbed.
Once again with a Disturbed. McJeezy listens to one band.
I played Dance with the Devil by Breaking Benjamin.
Disturbed might be the official angry music of the tax accountant.
It is. Yeah, I played Dance with the Devil by Breaking Benjamin.
Suicide Solution by Ozzy.
Yep. That was... Oh, how'd you know?
because that's the number one most famous suicide song that you could think of, because it's about a bomb.
I just put in keyword suicide.
It's about Bon Scott. Wine is fine, but whiskey's quicker.
So, but the room was like very jovial, and they were like, who the shit played this? And I was like, no, just raise my hand. Anyway, but so the rest of the vacation was fine, because like I was kind of removed from it. I wasn't here. But when I got back, it hit me like a load of bricks.
And you said the funeral was Friday?
The funeral was last Friday at Lake Lawn, right there on the...
Lots of local service industry.
Oh, my God. There was about 700 people there,
that
minimum.
That is a full House of Blues funeral.
It was standing room only in the back of the chapel for the service. Because you had the viewing was from 11 to 1, and then you had a service from 1 to 2, and then you had the actual, like, put him in the ground burial, all in one place. Mm-hmm. And saw a lot of people there. I saw every service industry person.
And our buddy North Korean Santa did the eulogy?
He did. He killed it. I mean...
Whoa. Wrong. You terminated.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
He survived it.
He did the best job possible under the circumstances. He actually co-did it with another guy. The first guy was the best friend of the departed, and North Korean Santa finished it up with the closer, and it was brutal. I mean, I saw a lot of tears, including my own, just dripping down people's faces. Then there was a throwdown, so to speak, at the columns. And I was kind of taken aback by it, because we were at the columns.
Was it too jovial?
It was jovial. Like, I mean,
too jovial?
Yeah, it was.
That's yeah. Well, but I mean,
they had.
But it's like the Irish funeral where you rage, and it's not necessarily.
That's what Dollar Dave was telling us. There might be an Irish wake. Well,
yeah, Irish wake. Sorry.
The people who had any sense, you know, just sat around and drank and kind of just told some stories and had some kicks, and it was fun. And the 80 other psychos that were there, including the departed's, like, close quote, like, frat friends, made a 8-foot cutout of him picture and brought it in there and hung it on the column's, like, wall.
Is that strange?
Very.
Okay.
Considering that...
I don't go to a lot of funerals and Irish wakes.
And then they wanted to take a picture on the steps of the columns with said cutout, which, oh yeah.
Ooh.
Then the girlfriend of the departed was obviously going to come have some drinks. She must have been catatonic because she's the one that found him. With a rope around his neck.
I don't know. This is why I can't do these kind of situations. Just like I'm no good at serious candor.
The funniest part about it was that Mrs. McJeezy could not go to the funeral. She had business meetings and things that she could not.
How was that the funniest part?
Oh, because she went to a ladies' luncheon and got hammered.
Oh, God.
So she so she met up with us. So she and I were climbing two different mountains to get to 10 or 15 deep, and that was not good at all. So in lieu of Irish wake and Irish everything, I Irish goodbye'd everybody when she showed up.
I guess it's the most appropriate way to just roll out of there.
Yep. And later on, she was like, why did you leave? And I was like, well, I mean, it's a good question. Why did I just... She walked in. I was like, we were just in two complete opposite different world places. And even admittedly later, she was like, I should never come to that because that's just not appropriate.
Yeah, I would say so. So that was the personal deep valley. Then the world.
And then the world. I'm sorry. And now... Then I think it was on Thursday. It must have been Wednesday or Thursday. I can't remember.
I think it was Wednesday.
Wednesday, I'm sorry. Wednesday, woke up and was listening to a radio show and flashing news like somebody shoots up a softball game, a congressional softball practice or baseball practice. And I was thinking to myself, what is going on? Well, they have an annual baseball game between the Republicans and Democrats every year for charity.
That's some good old-fashioned fun there.
For the last 100 years, though.
Yeah, this is horrible.
So they practice for it.
No bad blood there.
But they practice for it, though. Like, so they take it seriously.
Okay.
So Our own Steve Scalise, as everyone already knows, was he's the representative from the Kenner's district, and he's the House Majority Whip, which that's saying a lot, like coming from Kenner. But, you know, like Kenner has never had that kind of representation in Congress, much less probably Louisiana. I don't think has had like leadership, you know. So he was playing second base, and this psycho from Illinois drove all the way from Illinois and asked someone, are these the Republicans or Democrats practice? Are these the Republicans or Democrats practicing? And someone was like, oh, those are Republicans. And he took
now
out.
Now, that was a fake question. Obviously, he would know the targets.
Well, he didn't know where they were practicing.
Oh, okay.
So he then took out clips and just started unloading. And you, if you haven't seen the video, there was a jogger who was right happened. He filmed the whole thing. And this guy got off 50 rounds. That's a it's a lot. So the only
once again, they were athletes out there. And they, oh.
So the only reason why it wasn't a there could have been a congressional massacre, because if you're a congressperson, congresswoman or man, you don't get security unless you're in leadership. So the fact that Steve Scalise was there, he had two Capitol Police bodyguards armed, and that's the only reason that 20 people didn't die.
Oh, because they took out the shooter immediately?
Right. Well, they eventually took him out, but I mean, if Steve Scalise wasn't there and somebody
this
else...
This shit was going down, and I'm on this boat out in the Caribbean.
Right.
And like, well, I guess the real world's going to have to wait till Sunday morning.
If Steve Scalise wasn't there, 20 Republican congressmen would have been executed.
Well, that's probably being dramatic, but you know, it would have been a worse situation.
There's no sure. other. There's no security.
Well, speaking of local officials, on the boat with me was good old Fire Chief Tim McConnell.
Oh, did you say hi to him?
I was
telling Mrs. McJeezy. I said, I bet the prophet's gonna get fucking hammered.
I got educated with our boys on the boat about Tim and his fire boys wearing masks and taking down the Liberty Monument, and possibly the fire department won't cop to this, but possibly all the other structures that the fire department was actually the people on the ground that took it, and then they used equipment from the sewage and water board and just blacked out the logos on the cars.
Gangster.
So it was an inside job on the city. But what's kind of makes it weird is that they won't say it was.
So 6/11 was an inside job?
Yes, sure.
I don't know if that wasn't a date.
Absolutely. So, yeah, it was kind of funny that also then he's on this boat with us for a week in the Caribbean.
I'm on a boat. I take down the statues. I'm on a boat.
Yeah, I just kind of, I don't want to say rubbed me the wrong way, but it was like,
he needed a vacation.
Do you think? I guess so. I'm sure. Speaking of vacations, I saw Mayor Mitch took a swim in a community pool. Just as like, oh, of course I'm one of you guys. Splish, splash.
Yeah.
Like, get out of the water, Mitch. Dry off. Get out of here. I had to do some, like, MacGyver driving earlier today. I was coming down Chapultepec, or Religious, right before it merges back on the Chapultepec, coming back uptown from the CBD.
By Race and Religious.
And, a bus pulls out in front of me. And, of course, it's like, fuck, I don't want to be be behind the bus all the way down Chapultepec. So I was like, left lane, go around, and then the next thought in my head as I hit the left lane and about the speed, like, bet there's a speed trap up ahead. I saw it in the distance.
Yep.
Slammed on the brakes, and then it was like, fuck. Now I'm towing the line with this bus, and at some point I need to accelerate in front of it because of that damn thing. So it was Fast and the Furious Joshua right at that curve, cutting off people to get in the right lane to get to Chapultepec, and I'm blaming all the frustration I put on other people on the goddamn little camera car thing. And then I saw another one coming here this evening. And then every time you pass Carrollton through every major intersection, it's Death Valley.
I feel like a
soldier going through no man's land as I cross Claiborne and then Earhart, of just like the camera just could malfunction and tick tack.
Any smooth street, you will find the like the movable police cars.
But people did get refunded. We want to put that in writing.
Oh, God. Yeah,
they caught the camera program with their pants down because they people along River Road as it passed from Jefferson Parish into Orleans Parish.
Right.
830-some people got hit with tickets. They went and said there was no signage posted. that the speed limit was photo enforced. Then a sign went up, and on the back of the sign is the stamped date of installation.
Boom.
Bam. Got them. And WWL picked up the story, hit them with it, and those people are getting refunds. So through, I guess you just got to be clever with it. Once again, not constitutional, can't face your accuser. Here we are. This is taxation without representation in the 21st century, as far as I'm concerned.
I think it is, but I mean, it's
walking around feeling like a flashing light is like me getting pickpocketed for $90.
Dude, everywhere is.
And I don't get hit with these. I'm good. I'm good with it. I even in my most blackest out drunk states of
mind. You going 30 down Choppa style? 30 down Chop?
Oh,
that's a speed limit on Chop.
I've yet to see one around the major loops. There's nowhere to put the cars. There's nowhere to park the cars with a straight line to shoot the radar up until you get closer to the city.
No, the camera cars.
Yeah, the camera cars. There's nowhere to park them.
Yeah, right.
Up around the flood walls. No, there's not. Going that way.
Well, no. I was going to say coming back from...
Maybe, yes, but you got to figure...
Right before tips.
You got to think the cars have to be parked in a straight line to shoot the radar down. They have to have a straightaway to catch you and take the photo. It can't be curvy. Chop a tool is... But doesn't matter, of course, because the signs are posted all the way up and down Chop that it's photo enforced, and which, of course, it is not, because to this day, I have not seen anything between the Riverbend area, or let's say I haven't seen anything from Winn-Dixie...
No, there's not there.
...to Jackson.
It's you haven't seen it?
I haven't seen a single photo car either direction on those areas.
Oh, shit. Well, I saw two the other day.
What cross streets exactly?
It's right after. Okay, so Tips is on Louisiana and Chop.
No, it's
right?
not. It's on Napoleon and Chop.
It's on Napoleon. Okay. What is on Louisiana and Chop?
Nothing.
Nothing. Okay.
DUI checkpoints occasionally every 6 months.
It's between Louisiana and Jackson on Chop.
Okay. Then I'll say from Winn-Dixie to Louisiana.
Right.
I've not seen a single car, and there's signs posted up and down the whole thing.
I don't know. Maybe you don't drive during the day there. It's just I think it's 30 miles an hour. So
it doesn't
people.
Matter. All the traffic enforcement signs they want will not stop you from getting shot on I-10. Apparently, so we had another shooting the other night on the interstate right there on I-10 East. So I guess they'll add that to the statistics. Instead, from 2016 to today, we've had 23 people shot on I-10. I guess I-10 is the safest place if you want to shoot somebody and get away with it. Apparently.
I don't understand. Like, people are, like, snipering out of their windows? Like,
well, think about it this way. Since the advent of the camera program, from 2013 to now, camera or traffic arrests have dropped at, like, 65%, according to the stats they've released.
Because there's
no traffic. There's no cops being sent to traffic duty anymore
because
they figure the camera program pulls just as much money and saves on manpower because, as we know, there are 22 police officers in New Orleans. So with no traffic, with no officers out on the road enforcing traffic, then that becomes a free-for-all for other crime. So the interstate is pretty much a shooting gallery then. If you just want to follow some guy you want to shoot onto the highway, pull up alongside him, who cares if you hit him or not, empty the chamber. There's no cop on the interstate.
Right, and the other thing was I saw somebody blow a stop sign a red light.
What would be even more hilarious if someone tried to do that shit down Carrollton, blew some dude away as he whizzed past him in the car, emptied a clip, and then got caught with a speed camera.
That's what would happen. But I saw somebody blow through a stop sign or a red light.
Or no, the camera wouldn't catch him. That would be what happened. The car with the dead guy would slowly roll forward. Get the camera ticket. And the guy who got away was going 25 miles per hour and just calmly drives away.
No,
thanks, Mitch.
I saw somebody blow through a red light, and there was a cop right there and did nothing about it. Did nothing. And I wanted to scream at him like...
Maybe he just assumed, well, our red light camera in the next 30 blocks will catch him.
Is there any street justice anymore? Ugh.
No, the stats they released... When they released... Their budget, you can find it on all the Trash Talk pages from like 2 weeks ago, how much money they intend to make from all their programs, $25 million or something from traffic cameras alone, and booting your car.
Half the city's budget.
And then how much the tourism capital of what? The whole southern United States.
Yep.
And we have our income for fixing, for infrastructure improvements are hinged on people breaking driving laws.
Second highest wedding destination to go to now.
So, and then the crime stats of how traffic arrests have dropped massively since 2013 just goes to show we would never advocate murder. But if you really want to shoot somebody, follow them onto I-10. Clearly.
Yeah, no, that's very
Get
funny.
Your best friend to be the wheel guy. You're in the passenger seat. You blow past somebody in the passing lane. Da-da-da-da-da. Untouched.
And I was trying to think what else happened.
Even planning out to do the hit right before an exit. Gone.
I was trying to think what else happened this week that we
whatever happened this week.
Didn't touch on.
Well, dude, we're not talking about last week now. Talk about this week. We got a tropical storm, baby, about to roll up in Louisiana.
Yeah.
We got warnings all across the board. Whether or not the worst parts of it actually are heading towards Baton Rouge, according to the latest projections. But it's still going to be a rainy-ass week in New Orleans, which is great because being back in the city for the first time in a week, it's like 105 degrees already. Here we go.
Wait up. When is a tropical storm supposed to hit?
The projections were showing like Wednesday.
Oh, when we move our furniture? Great.
Yeah. You guys picked a great time to move. I know a couple people moving. It's like, why did you wait to the hottest time of the year, potentially with the worst intermittent like rainfall? Because as it's hotter, that downpour at 3 p.m. will just be worse.
Well,
let's move all your valuables.
We didn't have a choice. And also, moving in the middle of the week was $500 cheaper than moving on the weekend. Can you believe that?
Here you go. There's your projection right there.
Oh, geez.
So about 1 p.m. Wednesday rolling up. It looks like the...
1 p.m. Wednesday? Oh, we'll be out of there.
Well, yeah. I mean, we should be fine, but we're still expecting heavy rainfall. It gonna rain, as they say.
Oh, what is the weather report? It gonna rain.
Which would be a welcome given how hot it was today.
It was blazing today.
So we got our storm warning out there for y'all.
I was trying to think of Juvie. Wait up, Juvie. Oh,
also on the NOLA
gosh.
Trash Talk page. Speaking of speaking of criminals, our boy Juvenile, former hot boy, as they say.
Oh no,
he's on the hook for $150,000 at child support from 2013 to today. He owed between $150,000 and $170,000 child support. If you read the whole article,
his eldest
he's only paid $10,000 of it in the in that 4 years.
His eldest child went to college with him.
So, you know, the nice thing about being booked for non-payment of child support is you go to jail for 30 days, and of course, being in jail is a great way to earn the money to pay your child support. So you can expect a Hot Boys reunion tour very, very soon. If this matter is actually serious.
Do you think Juvie wrote a couple lyrics in jail?
He's going to have to write.
He's going to have to write something.
He's going to. He's expected to pay what he needs to pay, but I don't know. I would just take 30 days in jail and just, like, you know, bring my notebook. Screw it.
Right. I would also, you know, you can, like,
call it the child support tour.
Just call it what it is. Oh, this guy is such a fucking. Ugh. Every word that comes to it, this mayoral candidate, oh my God, it's disgusting.
That mayor race is heating up.
It's heating up.
And
it's heating up with a bunch of fucking flaming faggots.
One of the dudes, Scurlock, got banned from a debate and cried reverse racism. I'm not really sure what reverse racism is, because I would think racism is racism. If a girl says to me, all men are all the same, you're either hungry or horny, and I'm going to be like, well, that's not reverse sexism. That's just sexism. Right?
Yeah.
So I don't know what reverse racism is.
But wait up. I thought racism was done in New Orleans. We took down the statues.
That is true. And I was on the boat with the guy who did it. And he seemed like he was in a really good mood.
That was it. We're
so
done.
We must be square, folks.
NOLA.com. What are you even doing reporting on this?
Late. Who do you think's the next mayor is going to be? I think it's the guy that doesn't button his shirts. What's his name?
Friggin' Sidney Torres?
Yeah, I know he hasn't.
The motherfucker's not getting nowhere near that stupid office.
I wanted a more open shirt policy.
That policy built on Esplanade got sanctioned like a motherfucker recently. In no way.
Well, I guess it doesn't really matter, because no matter when they have this election and who gets elected mayor, Mitch is going to extend his stay in that office for as long as possible, soak up all that tricentennial glory,
he's doing
tear
that
down a few more statues.
He's doing that FDR run. I think I'll just go four terms.
And him and the fire department will skip off into the sunset on possibly another Carnival cruise. This is the Prophet Joshua.
This is Steve and Jeezy.
That was Bacardi 151 and roll of trash talk. We'll see you.
Shouldn't have smoked that ball. Now I'm too drunk to sing this song.